What's up, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the Falcons In Focus podcast presented by Ticketmaster, recorded in the Ticketmaster studios. You can see by the fancy logo back there.
And if you aren't singing and you're listening, then trust this us. Is a podcast.
There's cameras and stuff.
Not everyone watches, though.
Well, okay, we're off to a roaring start here. I'm Scott Baer. That's Tori McElhinney. This is Mike Hughes, brand new Falcons cornerback.
Thanks for having me.
Just done signing on the dotted line, 2-year deal to join a secondary that's got like a lot of talent, man.
It's a fun group.
Yeah, it's a fun group. I think it's going to be an exciting room to be in, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, man. So I'm just ready to get to work, man, and see what we could really put together.
Now, you played with Richie Grant in 2017 at UCF. Take me back to that time. What was Richie Grant like in 2017? Because he was a youngin' at that point.
He was a youngin'.
What was he like? What kind of stuff did y'all get into?
Give us all the dirt.
We got to give Richie a hard time.
I mean, like you said, he was the young pup. So, you know, I had to treat him like that little bro, you know. Give him a few pointers here and there. Richie even helped me get a pick one time. I remember it was against Memphis. The quarterback threw the ball his way. He tipped it, and it just fell right into my hands. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, he was always that little bro that you could pick on, but you know to bring out the best of him. And I'm sure y'all seen that the years he's been here. But he's a good player, and I'm looking forward to reuniting with him again.
Have we had any text messages, any correspondence now that you're officially on the same team again?
Yeah, I haven't gotten a chance to get to all of them yet, but they're flowing in right now.
Yeah, I bet you Richie's pretty pumped. I mean, and really, like, you go to UCF and then they just, like, don't lose a game anymore, right? I mean, like, that season for that school, I mean, like, what an experience that must have been, you know? Because it's like, they're playing with the big boys, undefeated.
Right.
I mean, like, what was that season, like, that experience like? Like, you show up. You know, some special things happen, and you guys are off and running.
I mean, going undefeated, like, who doesn't like winning?
Yeah, right?
You know what I mean? When you're playing a competitive sport like football. So that year was nothing but memories, man. It was so fun just, you know, being around those guys. And it was just that much easier being on the field playing with guys because we were so tight, you know, off the field. So, you know, whenever we stepped on the field, it was just all fun like we were playing in the backyard. So, you know, it was a really good time. I miss it. So.
What made that team so special, you think, thinking back to it?
Thinking back to it?
Because I feel like, I don't know.
That doesn't happen very often.
No.
It doesn't.
Catch
it
lightning
doesn't.
Like that.
Yeah.
I know that the year, I can't really speak the years prior I got there.
Right,
because I was
only
there for a year. But I know, I mean, it wasn't that great.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had a year where they went maybe like 0-13, which is crazy. Or maybe they won a couple games.
Yeah.
But I saw a lot of guys who were hungry. We had a lot of talented guys in that locker room. And once we figured out the formula to get everybody on the same page, I think that's what, you know, what kind of got us rolling. And Scott Frost, I think he did a great job with that too as well. Shout out to Scott Frost.
Yeah.
Got a plug on the podcast.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think just, you know, just having that camaraderie off the field really does play a big part of any team's connection, you know, whenever we're out there battling with each other.
Now, you know, if we're talking about UCF that season, you know we got to ask about the play.
The play?
The play.
The USF play?
What
is it, War on I-4?
War on I-4. You guys go, what, down? Or were you tied at that point?
We were tied.
Yeah.
We were tied at that
point. It was the go-ahead, I'm pretty sure,
And then the ball just comes floating down to Mike.
It's a kickoff, bro.
Because listen, the very first kickoff of that game, he kicked it short, and we ran it the same play that I scored on later in that game.
Mm-hmm.
We ran it the first play. I was one tackle away from going to the house, so that last kick return, I just knew like once I got the ball in my hands, it was over with.
What do you remember, kind of like, of that moment? Because, look, watching the video was one thing, but I imagine being there was something completely different. I mean, looking at the stands, and everybody was in black, I'm pretty sure. I mean, it was just, like, electric.
Yeah, it was crazy. I remember scoring and running, like, towards our tunnel, and then the kick return team, they were all following me, and they just kind of jumped on me, and I fell. So I was at the bottom of a pile, just like just waiting,
trying to catch your breath,
trying to catch my breath, just waiting to get up to celebrate with the guys on the sideline. But that it was a crazy moment, honestly. That whole place just erupted, and it's a feeling that I'll never, you know, forget, or probably one of the best moments of my career, honestly. So.
Yeah, I mean, I just think about, and I've asked, you know, CP, one of the best kick returners ever, yeah. Avery Williams, you know, mm-hmm. some guys who have been through that. Mm-hmm. When do you know I'm gone? Is there a moment, is there, you know, because it seems like everything's happening so fast, right?
Right.
That you're just trying to get through it and survive. But was there a moment where you're like, all right.
Nobody else. He said before he's even caught it.
I'll answer that. The moment that solidified it was when I just saw me and the kicker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
That's the best.
Yeah.
As long as they're not blocking the back, you're like, I'm gone.
Right. So once I saw me and him, I was like, yeah, I'm gone. Like,
you can't get caught by the kicker.
I can't get caught by
the kicker. That is not allowed.
You will never be able to live that down in the meeting rooms or just ever, I guess, but. I saw the kicker. I said, yeah, this is game time.
Yeah. I mean, and really, if you think about your trajectory, for lack of mm-hmm. a better term, right? Mm-hmm. You start in North Carolina. You go back to a JUCO. You play 1 year at UCF. And then you do well enough. I mean, you don't lose. But then you're drafted in the first round,
yeah. Yeah,
right?
Right?
You know, from the lows to finding a way to earn it, the first round draft pick mm-hmm. slot. I mean, if we're thinking kind of big picture, like what were those 2.5+ years? Like you go to Kansas, right? Garden City, Kansas. We have some questions about Garden City.
Yeah, we do.
but you go from Garden City, Kansas to a first round draft selection.
Right.
I mean, wow. Like what a kind of comeback surge there.
It was definitely a quick turnaround, man. And I'm always just, you know, blessed to, you know, be in that situation. But it did happen really quick. Like I said, I came from JUCO. I got to UCF pretty late. I think I got there like 8 days before the season.
Yeah, like right before, right?
Really late. So I kind of had to, you know, flip that switch. As soon as I got on campus, I was just ready to work. And then, you know, the year that I had, it was always talks of like, man, you might go first round of where you're playing. And I just never really kind of believed it until – after the season, and then you see all these draft boards with your name popping up. So it's like, wow, this is really possible. Wow. And then it happens, and then it's just like, guys were right. And I finally believed it. And then, you know, there you go.
I love it. I mean, talking about, like, going from Garden City, and mm-hmm. and I'm from kind of the middle of nowhere. So I could feel like I can say that maybe that's the middle of nowhere, too.
Oh, it definitely is.
It is? Okay. Yeah. I feel bad for all the Garden City people being like, how dare she? But I'm glad. Thank you for backing me up on that. What was that like? Because for the first time, you were kind of out of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And you're in a new place, probably by yourself, trying to get your feet back under you. Like, what was that year like?
It was really hard. It's the fact that you go from being at a Division I college and then go back down to JUCO. Mm-hmm. So it's like you go from seeing it all to nothing. And that was really heavy on my mental. It kind of questioned if I really wanted to play the game. And no, I got over that hump, you know, found the love of the game again. And, you know, we actually had an undefeated season in Garden City, too.
I was about to say,
see,
yeah.
Like, you just
yeah.
not end up
losing. Right, yeah.
That's what made it fun again, man, just being around, connecting with guys from – all different parts of the world,
right.
Having the kind of the same story, and it brought us close. We were all close, and like I said, man, it was just, we made it fun, and it's just that much easier going out there playing football when you can have fun and, you know, just trusting your guys mm-hmm. and that they're gonna have your back. So
at the end of the day, football's a game. It's,
yeah.
it's fun. It's supposed
right.
to be fun.
Right.
I keep telling people that.
I mean, so like, what is there to do for fun in Garden City, again?
You asking the wrong guy. You asking the wrong guy.
Maybe it's perfect because you're focused on football, right?
Right?
And grinding.
It's
it
easy
out.
To say.
Sure.
For a college kid who,
I
wants,
know,
to,
right?
who
yeah.
wants to get out and do stuff, but I mean, it definitely made me put my foot down and you know, made it into a business trip.
Yeah.
Know?
Okay.
So.
Oh, that's an interesting way.
I kind of look at it that way.
Right, and that you got business done. You got back into D1.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you were saying that you thought you're hearing maybe I'm going to be there in the first round, right? Mm-hmm. The first round's wrapping. You're in the 29, 28, 30.
Oh yeah.
Are you thinking maybe I'm a day two guy? Or are you clutching by the like when the phone lit up right, at that moment? Take us back to that.
Okay,
was it a big party or you?
They did have a big party. I did see some video.
I had a really big party. So once it got down to those last few picks, I was definitely like, man, like all these people are here. Am I gonna have to do this again? Invite everybody again next day? And then I saw that Minnesota area code come up on my phone. It was a feeling that you can't even describe. I kind of knew like where it was going. So once I got that phone call, I had to like kind of quiet everybody down,
because right,
everybody was just like doing their own thing, just watching the draft or drinking or doing whatever. So I kind of had to get everybody calm, and once they realized that I got the call, it kind of like riled back up again.
Yeah.
So it was a great feeling, man. I'll never forget that day.
It was interesting too. You had a Vikings hat. Like that night, right?
I had all 32 teams.
All 32.
Yeah, that's how you have to do it.
Yeah,
you,
right?
You just don't know.
Yeah. You gotta be ready.
Yeah.
That's cool. Because I saw some pictures and some videos, and it's like all your family, friends mm-hmm. kind of just around you. And I was like, he's wearing a Vikings hat. I was like, he knew. But it's cool that it's not. Do you still have all of those hats? Or what?
I don't have
no,
all of them.
No, you just toss them. It's like, it's fine. We need to get that Falcons hat back for you, though.
We do.
Yeah. We need to find it.
Yeah, I mean, and then it's like, look. Injuries suck, but
yeah,
the end, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like you know your first round talent, you know, you come in, you have an injury early, you have mm-hmm. you have another one dealing with your neck. I can't even imagine that.
Right.
But I guess the like the mental fortitude to like, because you've had to grind through some stuff
mm-hmm.
to grind through those periods, because you're like, okay, like I'm a first round talent, just keep me healthy long enough to show it.
right
you know what I mean? Is that sort of the mentality? And like, how did you work through those that level of adversity? It happens twice, you battle through it, you come out of it on the other end.
So that was a new type of adversity for me as well, because I've never been away from the game as long as I was when I tore my ACL.
Yeah.
I've never had to have surgery until I got into the NFL. So when that happened, it really kind of opened my eyes, and I found myself in a dark place, honestly.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to walk for 6 weeks due to the damage that I have done. And during those 6 weeks, you don't realize how many things you take for granted. Just like the simple things around the house. This probably might not be appropriate, but I had to take stool softener.
Yeah,
because I couldn't use the bathroom for like a couple weeks because my knee wouldn't. You know what I mean? So, just taking showers, I had to use a handicap chair, and just the little things you don't think. You know what I mean?
Essentially, like having to kind of like learn to walk again.
Exactly.
Because it is a process.
Right.
And especially going from like supreme athlete.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That you just really have to, you know, I always think about like the physical stuff, but like the mental side of it too.
Mental is really big, you know? Bro. It's like I said, that was a new challenge for me that I had to get over. And, you know, with the help of my mom, my teammates, and that training staff mm-hmm. in Minnesota, they helped me get over that hump, and I'm very appreciative of everybody who was who had a helping hand in that part. So.
Yeah.
When you kind of like think about, you talk about your mom.
Mm-hmm.
I was creeping on the Instagram, and she she is an Instagram queen.
Oh yeah.
What has your mom been for you? Not just in the last few years as mm-hmm. you're going through everything, but your whole life.
She's my world. She's been with me every step of the way of anything I wanted to get my hands on or accomplish. She's right there with me, supporting me. I couldn't ask for a better mom, mm-hmm. honestly. She did a great job raising me. Taught me the ins and outs of a lot of things, and I'm very appreciative of her. So, when I got drafted, the very first thing I bought her was a house, her dream house.
I saw that.
Yeah.
So, that's, I feel like that speaks a lot about, what she means to me. So
that's pretty special.
Yeah. And just to be able to have that opportunity to give back to somebody who's given you so much.
Right.
One more question before we get to the rapid fire.
Yes.
you know, it's like, so you go through these ups and downs like that we're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. And then now you have an opportunity with an up-and-coming secondary, with a guy that you know, with a coach that you know, mm-hmm. Jerry Gray, you worked with in Minnesota.
Right.
This seems like a really, you had options, right? Mm-hmm. This seems like a really good opportunity, kind of fresh start. You feel like this is an opportunity. All right, the first round talent is in there. Like, let's go do it, and let's do it with a fun young group. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I said earlier, I'm excited to get to work with these guys.
Yeah.
Being one of the, now going into year six, I'm considered one of the, you know, one of the vets in the room.
You're a vet
so,
now, yeah.
You are
so
a vet.
That's another challenge.
Old guy.
Yeah, that's another challenge I'm willing to take on, and you know, whether that's helping out the younger guys or being more of a vocal leader, or you know, I'm not really an outspoken guy. I like to lead by example. So, you know, like I said, if I have to take on that challenge of being more of a vocal guy and, you know, just in that aspect, I'm willing to take on that challenge. But nonetheless, man, I'm ready to get to work with these guys and see what we can really do. And
I
think
it.
We'll shock everybody.
I think I'm excited to see, too. I mean, this is a really cool group that's gotten put together here recently.
Sure.
Now, everyone's favorite part of the podcast, Rapid Fire.
Right.
Rapid Fire.
You ready?
There are no wrong answers.
I think so.
I don't think.
We don't think there's wrong answers.
We don't think there's wrong answers. Like, everybody basically gets the same five.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we, you know, judge them.
So, like, do I have to answer them really quick?
Yeah. You can. We can do a little of that.
Yeah.
I keep doing this like people are like, know what I'm talking about.
We're
bouncing.
Okay.
Well, okay, I'm going to go with the flow. Now.
Yeah, you got it.
Maybe we've already discussed this one already.
Right.
The first question to everybody is their favorite play of their career.
Oh, yeah, we definitely discussed
that.
Yeah,
okay, that was easy. We
well,
are
that
good.
Was fast.
Yeah, okay, favorite movie or TV show?
John Wick sequel.
Oh, good one.
That's an interesting one.
I love them.
I mean,
I love Hitman movies.
Yeah.
Even Equalizer with Denzel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, but, I mean, especially, like, protecting his dog, okay? You know
Come
what I'm
on,
saying?
Come on, man.
You have a dog?
I do.
Rottweiler?
Doberman.
Look at
that.
You
close though.
I was close. I thought, what's his name?
His name is Zeus.
Zeus.
Perfect.
Yep.
That's
All
a good
right.
one.
I like it. All right. Your favorite player growing up?
It doesn't. The sport doesn't matter.
Favorite player growing up? I really like Devin Hester.
Ooh.
Devin Hester,
okay.
Former Atlanta Falcon. Get him into the Hall of Fame, please.
Please.
Please. It's
please.
About time.
Book
Put some
it.
Respect on the return man, okay?
Yeah, for real.
If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Oh, flying.
Flying.
That's a solid answer.
Flying or teleport?
Teleport is mine. Yeah.
Is yours?
Yeah.
Really
I was right on that one. I'm really excited about teleport.
Oh, my
gosh. I like when people say that one.
Okay, last one. What is a skill that you wish you had but don't?
I wish I could sing.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I also really wish I was kind of like creative, like that I could like draw or something. Like my creative brain doesn't work, so like singing.
Yeah,
goes along
drawing is pretty, that's like a real skill. I
right,
feel like.
Yeah. So is singing.
Yeah,
you want a couple bars for us?
So you're not a big karaoke guy, huh?
No.
No. Yeah. Richie will
Richie.
Do it. Though.
I know
Richie
he will.
Oh my God. Have you seen
it.
Richie in the karaoke? Doing some karaoke?
I haven't, but I wouldn't doubt
it. It's legendary, apparently, according to Richie.
Yeah,
I don't know about
Richie
anybody
Grant,
else.
He's great at it. Oh, my goodness.
This was fun.
This was fun.
Yeah.
Mike Hughes, thank you so much for stopping by the Falcons in Focus podcast presented by Ticketmaster. Great conversation. I cannot wait to see the secondary assemble.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously,
ooh,
so many new parts,
I like that.
So much talent. It's going to be fun to watch. Thank you so much. We can't wait to see you out on the practice field and the real field moving forward.
Me. Thank you.
And we will talk to you again next time. See ya.
Woo.